Hello there, and welcome back to another episode of The Unwatchables. Really? We've been gone for 4 months, and that's what you're greeting them with? No hello, or welcome back, or hello, or howdy, or...
Nope, no need to. I'm not
Chef
the one who...
Chef Boyardee.
Connor, I'm not the one who has to apologize.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm not the one who's getting backed up on editing. That's not
Life
me.
Got ahead of me. The last time we recorded was, well, that's not true. The last time we recorded an episode that you guys heard was August 15th, and now it's December 5th. And that episode we recorded had a part two, which never got released because I got really, really, really unmotivated. No, I just, life got ahead of me, didn't have much time, procrastination, oof. And yeah, so here we are. We've recorded like 4 episodes since then, didn't post any of them, probably never will because they're all kind of dated at this point. And yeah, boom shakalaka, bing bang boom, bongo.
Like just to tell you guys this or something, we had like a breakdown of those DC trailers that released at the DC fandom. We had like a full breakdown. It was amazing. We loved it, and we never got around to editing it.
That was a good episode.
That was, but it only works if you release it like soon after. But but then we also had a review for Tenet, and we kind of rushed it, and it didn't really turn out.
When I tell you, we were so confident that we were finally getting back into the podcast.
Okay, so that's kind of like when we started recording Tenet. We were so happy. We were like, okay, we're going to get back. And then the episode went kind of terribly. And then it killed all our motivation. And then life took over again. And
even if the episode was good, I probably never would have edited it. So.
But then here we are again. And for like 3 days straight, I've been working a lot on both. We've been both working on the podcast and editing and the YouTube channel. We have a... video coming out on there soon.
You guys don't even know that exists at the time of recording it because we never released the video episode where we announced
Did
it,
we?
Even though
okay.
we released the first episode in August.
But they will know it by the time this releases.
Yeah, you know about it now, and you better have watched it. You better have subscribed. Did you subscribe? Go subscribe, or I'm taking all of your cookies.
Yep. But I think we're back for good this time around.
I finally edited that episode. It should be going out very soon, and this episode also will get edited because I am motivated now, and we're really excited to get back into it because it has basically made this year kind of fun, because with all the COVID stuff, it would not have been very fun. So, yay. We're back at it.
And let me just remind you guys that I... Wait, never mind. I suggested to Connor that I could be the one that edits these episodes. And it would save us so much time, but no, Connor has to edit them. He has to edit
them. These episodes are my babies.
They are your babies, but...
You got the YouTube. The YouTube is your thing. This is my child. The YouTube is the child of your mind.
Yep. I edit
I've done literally no work on the... I've done no work on the YouTube channel other than providing my luxurious vocal cords.
Yep. Yesterday, we decided to record the first episode for YouTube, and I'm like, okay, Connor, come here, read off the script and don't do anything.
I was too lazy to even make comments on the script. Well, I made a few.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's the YouTube man. So I gotta have my child, you know?
Yeah.
He's got his child, I gotta have mine. Speaking of children, we're here to talk about the show that gave us the child, Baby Yoda. It's Star Wars season, and I'm pretty sure I know I'm in the Star Wars fever right now.
Mm-hmm.
Lived rent-free in my mind for the past couple of weeks because The Mandalorian is... I was trying to think of a good descriptor. Couldn't think of one.
Booming.
It's booming. The business for The Mandalorian is booming, and...
Don't know how many toys are being sold, but it's booming, I think.
Probably a lot, considering they finally... Spoiler alert, by the way. There's going to be full spoilers in this episode. They finally revealed Baby Yoda's name, and so now all of the merchandise people have made is probably useless.
Indeed. It can no longer be called the child. No longer.
Now it is just simply the sound of someone gagging. Grogu!
Grogu!
By the way, I'm going to annoy you. I know most people are probably still calling him Baby Yoda. I've just started calling Grogu to annoy people, and it's funny, so I'm going to keep doing it, and he's probably going to get really angry at me.
I am going to get really angry, but you know what? I'm very tolerant. I, even though he's still Baby Yoda, I will be very tolerant, and I will not freak out when he calls him Grogu. Oh, Grogu. I will not freak out.
You okay over there? Sounded like you almost died.
Oh, I did.
So yeah, we're back, and we are here to talk about the first 6 episodes of The Mandalorian. Don't know why we chose to make an episode after number 6 instead of like halfway through.
I think it's
like
because
every episode, but you know.
I think it's because a few days ago we decided to get back into recording, and
this is the obvious choice.
Then the 6th episode just released, so yeah, that's it.
So yeah, anyway, we're back for the first time in 4 months, back in the I was going to say the studio, but back in our weird shifty areas and locations.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so where do you want to begin?
I'll just start episode 1.
Episode 1.
Like, we can just
That's a very good
to
place
6.
To start usually, you know? Like, some people might be like, you know what, let's start at episode 3.5.
Let's work backwards. Yeah. Let's go from episode 6 back to episode 1. Let's see how that works out.
I don't think that would be too bad either way, because, like, you know. But, yeah, let's start at episode 1.
Yeah, episode 1 is, like, one of the most enjoyable episodes. It's a bit fillerish, nothing really. Actually, now that I think of it, now that we've seen episode 6, it does have importance. But it just doesn't really matter. It's the first episode, you know. It's so much fun. We're back on Tatooine.
So, this episode... Oh, sorry, you weren't done, were you?
Yeah, we're back on Tatooine. There's a big monster. There's Boba Fett armor. There's Timothy Olyphant. And Sand People.
Dope last name.
It is a weird last name.
But yeah, so this episode got me hyped about The Mandalorian again, finally. Like, I was just like, I think we watched it together at some point.
Yep.
That was like your third time watching it or whatever, though.
Seconds.
You know what? Numbers don't matter, okay?
It's a one number difference. And they're both so such small numbers, Connor. Connor.
1 and 2?
Yes. No, 2 and 3.
Oh. But yeah, I really enjoyed this. Like, I mean, the Mando episode 8 ended, like, what?
December.
So yeah, it comes November time. I don't know when it came out. I don't remember. I think it was, like, the last week of October. And so it wasn't, like... Are you happy or sad that it wasn't just, like... A direct, like, there was a tiny cliffhanger at the end of The Mandalorian Season 1. Are you happy or sad that they didn't, like, follow up on that immediately?
Well, I'm really happy.
I think it works well,
but
just,
what
like,
I really
get
like
back
is
into the story.
How they sprinkle little things throughout the season and then end off the last 2 seasons with full-blown story, you know? Kind of like,
mm-hmm.
they sprinkled a few little details about the finale, and then the finale comes along and they just blow it up in your face, you know?
That is, like, very obvious pattern with the 2 seasons. The first season, like, the first couple episodes were just these little special missions, and then slowly it all, like, built up, and then the last 3 episodes were like, bang, 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 bang,
yeah.
in your face, great, and it's lovely. I loved it. Why did I use the word lovely? I sound like an old British woman.
Lovely,
but
it's
yeah.
Very lovely.
And then
dear.
The same thing happens with the second season. Like, the first couple episodes, Mando, ship breaks, goes on side mission, almost gets killed. Ship breaks, goes on side mission, almost gets killed. And then you got the very original ship breaks, goes on side mission, almost gets killed. But then after that, you get
ship blows up.
It all sort of falls together. And then, well, I would say ship breaks, but I think it was a little bit more extreme than that. So.
A little bit more extreme, like,
you know, just a just
maybe
a
the extreme that he has to like pajama party with Boba Fett. You know,
that's a little reference to
it is.
You know, certain thing that you might find on our YouTube channel if you go subscribe.
Okay, anyway, but episode 1. So this episode was by Jon Favreau, the writer, and he's a very good director. He did Iron Man, which is great. He did Iron Man 2, which is not so great. And
Jungle Book.
Yeah. It had like very fluid action.
Elf,
like,
he did Elf as well.
He did
Sorry,
Elf.
I'm like 5 seconds, just thinking 5 seconds behind what you're saying.
Yeah. So the entire episode is just like such a great beginning. It has nothing to do with the rest of the story except Boba Fett, but you know, it's just fun. It starts off with a big monster that they have to blow up, and it brings you back to Tatooine. So it's like a nice beginning.
So one of my favorite parts about this episode is I was watching the original trilogy the other day, or just A New Hope, and when C-3PO and like R2-D2 get shot down in their escape pod at the beginning and land on Tatooine, and they're walking about and having their arguments and crap, they walk past the skeleton of a crate dragon. That's what they're called, right?
Yep.
Yeah, they walk past the skeleton of a crate dragon, and that is super cool to me because that's like the whole reference. This is one of the things I love about The Mandalorian, is that's like the whole reference to that species in all of Star Wars.
Just one reference.
And then they make that a thing in The Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool to me that they take those tiny little things and make them like so much more important.
Yeah. And this seems to be like one of the big points of The Mandalorian. They take things from legends and then make them canon. Kind of like,
uh-huh.
Well, I'll actually lead into that more when we reach episode 6. Because, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's there are a lot of things in episode 6 that are...
I've seen a lot of memes about that. Yeah. It's really funny watching all the people be like, Disney thought they could take legends away from us, but then Dave Filoni became our savior. Who he is our savior.
Yep.
But yeah, what was I going to say? I really liked the guy. Did you like the guy who had Boba's armor?
Oh yeah, I really like him.
I kind of wish he got... Do you think he'll come back?
Nah, I don't think so.
It'd be interesting to see him again, like, a little bit. But, I thought he really did.
Like, when I first saw him arrive in Boba Fett's armor, I was like, okay, John Favreau, you've messed up. And then he takes off the helmet. I'm like, oh, thank goodness. Oh, thank goodness. But then during the
action scenes,
when you first see him, he's like a pencil. And the helmet's so big, it looks like a 5-year-old wearing a full Boba Fett gear. But then, once he's, like, flying around, it actually fits him well.
Yeah. There's, like, a bunch of pieces of Boba's armor missing, though, like...
Yeah. He has, like...
Because it was just, like, the chest plate and the head, right? And then maybe, like, the hands
and
the knees.
What they don't have are, like, the...
Like, the sleeves, like, the freaking... You know, like a little, like...
So, they're missing ones on the legs. They have one single pad, piece of armor for the ankle, or, like, the shin.
And I know he had some on his knees, because in episode 6 he has those little, like, knee rocket things.
Yeah. It's basically, it's originally everything that Mando has. But then he falls into the Sarlacc pit, and then he loses most of it. And all he has left is the breastplate, the helmet, and a knee thing.
Yeah.
That shoots rockets.
I love the way they teased Boba at the end. Like, they just teased him. Because, like, that's a problem I have with a lot of shows, is they'll just sort of throw characters in there, which sometimes works, sometimes doesn't. But, there was a very good chance in the show that Boba and Ahsoka and all the people that were, like, all, you know, rumored to show up and all their actors were there and stuff. Like, it would have been very possible that they just blatantly threw them in there just for the sake of having them in there.
Yeah. I'll get to when we reach episode 5, because I do have a few thoughts on that. But
you don't think that about Ahsoka, do you?
No. I don't think that about Ahsoka.
Okay, good.
But let's move on to episode 2. Because we have a few
episodes. Okay, it sucks.
This episode's not good.
Every good show has a couple bad episodes, and this was it.
But I don't know. Here's the thing. It didn't need to be this bad. Every other episode is so good. I don't even know why they had this episode. I would have been more happy if they just threw it out altogether and had 7 episodes. You know?
You would rather them just skip straight to episode 3?
Yep. Or if they had to have this episode, they could have at least had... just more story to it, because this is all that happens. They're like, okay, we're going to find this frog lady's wife. Oh no, we're crashing. Bloop. Oh no.
Did you just say frog lady's wife? It's her husband.
Didn't I say that?
You said wife.
Oh, my bad. But so, like, they're gonna go find the husband. They're like, oh no, we're crashing into Ice Planet. Whoop, oh no, spiders. Oh, time to get out of here, you know?
This is the episode that makes forces all of the, you know, broken down, crashing Honda Civic side mission jokes.
Yep.
That I kind of regret, you know, after episode 6. I feel like I was a bit harsh. But this is the episode that forces that, because that's all it is. His ship is just not good. It breaks. He crashes. They fight some spiders. He fixes it. And then they leave. Like, what's the point? There's no story. There's no development on anything. Yep. All you get is some cute visuals of Baby Yodas eating some woman's children.
Yeah, and the action sequences are fairly well
done. I did not just call a small green thing eating someone's children cute.
Mm-hmm. I think the action is very well done. It's directed by the guy who did Ant-Man.
Okay, but like, so what's the guy who did Ant-Man?
Yeah, it is competent direction.
Did you say the guy who did Ant-Man?
Yep.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. No, it doesn't matter. Action, though, can be cool. It doesn't matter if you don't have a good plot story to the episode.
Let me finish my point. Most Mandalorian episodes, they're made up like of an extremely small three-point story. Let's take episode 3 from season 1. Mando is leaving. Mando has a change of heart. And Mando saves Baby Yoda. It's a short and slick story, and it works. This episode, it's only 2 points. They crash and they get off. You know?
Well, they crash, they fight the spiders, and then they leave.
Okay, fine. But neither of those...
I don't think that's what it is. It's just literally just there because they wanted to have 8 episodes. Yeah. And they couldn't think of anything better.
But they could have at least added at least one more point, you know? Maybe they talk to the, I don't know, the those Republic X-Wing.
I mean, you talk to him a little bit.
But they could have, like, had more of a conversation, maybe learned some things, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. This episode's just kind of trash. Besides,
yeah, I don't think anyone really liked this episode. Like, some people were probably like, eh, it's fine. It's just filler. But that's the problem.
Yeah, I don't think it's as bad as episode 5 of season 1. That one...
I do.
You do? Okay, I think episode 1 of season 5 is atrocious in every way. The acting is terrible. The visuals are
terrible. I didn't know there were 5 seasons. What?
I said episode...
No, you said episode 1 of season 5.
Okay, sorry. Season 1...
No, you're good.
I'm messing up so much right now. Episode 5 of season 1, the acting is terrible. The visuals are bland.
You know that woman? Sorry to interrupt you, but you know that woman on Tatooine? I hate her.
Yeah. Oh, she's so annoying. And she's in this one as well. And she ruins it.
She is not a good actor.
Yeah, but
I don't know who she is.
As I was saying, visuals bland, dialogue terrible, acting. I actually think that one discount Han Solo is some of the worst acting I've seen in Star Wars. It's so bad.
Worse than yeah, you're right. Never mind.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of someone.
And just
I thought about saying Hayden Christensen, but I kind of like him.
Yeah. Well, at least Hayden Christensen, even though his performance, like people say his performance, it gets weighed down by the dialogue, and I agree, but I think some of it is on him. If Ewan McGregor can make the dialogue sound good, then...
Okay, but Ewan McGregor just... How do you say his name?
Ewan McGregor.
Ewan, my mom says Ewan, and she's like, Connor, no.
That's just wrong. Like, he says his own name. The way says his name is correct, and he says it is Ewan McGregor.
All right, Ewan McGregor. I don't like that. I always call him Ewan, or Owen, or... I don't know. I don't know what I call him.
It's Ewan.
But he carries the prequels. Like, that's not even a question. Mm-hmm. Like, he is easily the best, like, I'd say he's the best actor in all of Star Wars.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
Oh, well,
maybe.
It's true. If he can carry that script, he could be amazing in the other scripts.
Yeah. I don't think he's the best. Like, I think when you come to that kind of acting, because I don't think he's one of the best actors of all time, but he is an amazing actor, and he did say
that. I just think he's the best character. He's the best actor in Star Wars because he carried that.
Yeah, but that doesn't automatically mean he's the best actor in Star Wars.
He's just made to seem better. Maybe outside of that, if you put two of the characters in the same movie, I'm saying in the context of Star Wars, he acts the best. I'm not like saying he's the best like he's actor.
He's affected the movie the most.
Yes, he is good enough that he can make parts of a fairly terribly written trilogy very good.
Yeah, I can.
And he's definitely not like if you like. I'd say there's a two or three people at least who are better actors outside of that than him. Mm-hmm. But he is. I think he is the best actor in the context, like with yep. only looking at those movies of Star Wars.
I would also argue that Adam Driver absolutely carried Rise of Skywalker.
Yes, he also carried his trilogy.
Yeah.
But, plus I just love Ewan McGregor.
Yeah. So anyway, what were we getting at?
I do not know.
Terrible acting in episode
Oh, that
five.
Woman. I hate her.
Yeah, just everything was bad about that episode. But this is about season two, and though episode two is not as bad as that heckle, it is still atrocious.
But this is to their good, or not their good, this is to their, I don't know the saying, but one good thing is that so far that is the only miss from the season.
Mm-hmm.
So, all the other episodes
I think it will
end
up being the only miss. There's no way that they butcher these last two episodes.
You can't butcher the last two episodes.
Yeah, so that, like here's the thing, season one was building up to those last two episodes, and we saw it. And now we have a straight view of what's going to happen in the last two episodes of this. We don't know what's going to happen, but we know something big will happen, and there are many possibilities. So there is no way they can butcher this. It's going to be
if
awesome.
If they butcher it, I will cry.
Mm-hmm, I will cry.
We can cry together.
And this is what's great. Like, they slip up in some episodes, but the episodes they slip up in don't matter because they're so bad, you know? Like, you can just
ignore
them.
Yeah, they don't slip up in the... Like, they don't make bad, important episodes. They make bad, useless episodes.
The reason they're bad is because they're so unimportant. And I'm fine with filler. I like filler episodes. Sometimes, like, Monster
of
the Week episodes, they're fun. You know? Kind of like
Episode 3, I think, was also kind of filler to a certain extent.
Kind of. Well, it had, like,
Wait, which one was episode 3?
Yeah, Bo-Katan's episode 3.
Sorry, episode 4.
Yeah, The Siege.
The one where they were on,
Like, were they infiltrated?
What's that planet called?
I don't know. The lava planet that they've gone back to, like, 5 times.
Oh, shoot.
Anyway, yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway, filler is nice. But if you fill it so early in the season, then you have a problem. And that's a thing.
Filler is nice until you fill it with crap.
Yeah, that's another kind of problem. It's so early in the season, you know?
Yeah, like, if you want to keep people engaged, you got to make it good, like, right away, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and... Even with, like, it can never be complete filler, but it can have a lot of filler. Let's take episode 6 of season 1. It's where it's with...
Okay, why do you remember all of this? Like, I have no... I cannot tell you what that episode was about.
It's where they have to break that one, I don't know, that one noodlehead guy out of prison.
Did you watch this before season 2 came out again?
No.
Because I haven't seen it since I saw it, like, the first time.
I haven't seen Mandalorian since it came out.
How do you remember all of this?
I don't know. They had to break him out of prison, and what worked with that is that the Republic officers who were keeping him prisoner come back, and as we've seen from episode 6, Bill Burr is going to come back, so at least it has some relevance.
Oh, is that the one where they're on that ship and he's breaking out the guy with that other guy?
Yeah.
Guy they broke out the guy that's coming back, or is that the guy who helped him that's coming back?
Bill Burr, the bold guy. He's the one who helped break out.
Okay, I knew he was in that episode, but I couldn't remember exactly who he was.
Anyway, on to episode 3. Ooh, episode 3 is good.
We're getting close to the hype.
Yeah.
Not quite at the hype yet. I can guarantee you episode 5 and episode 6 will be a much longer
discussion.
Yeah,
okay, episode 3 is my second or third favorite. It's probably tied for second favorite episode of Mandalorian because it's just so great.
Out of 16 or out of 8?
Out of all 16.
Well, we all know what the best one was. Episode 5, Season 2.
Uh-huh. Interesting. I think that the best of Season 1 are either Episode 8 or Episode 3. Those are just amazing.
Which one was Episode 3 again? I'm sorry.
Where Mando has a change of heart and he saves Baby Yoda and the Mandalorians show up in their epic backpacks. I said backpack.
Oh, yeah, and he's
their
like,
jetpack.
Backpack.
They come back
oh, yeah,
and
I have an epic backpack. There's a backpack on the floor right next to me. Like, I mean, it's full of textbooks,
the Mandalorians,
but it's the same thing, right?
Cargo backpacks, you know, they open them up and they have some extra cargo pants for Baby Yoda, you know.
Why did they become cargo pants backpacks?
I don't know.
What are your thoughts on cargo pants, by the way?
Cargo pants, I hate them.
Like, it's so weird. It's like weird, like khaki jeans, just like big pockets. Like, why? Who, have you? So I wore cargo pants a lot for a couple years of my life, and I don't think I ever put anything in those pockets.
Yep.
They're just.
It's like it's like the, it's like
there.
It's like those old guys who, even though they never were in the army or they weren't veterans or anything, they still wore camo. You know?
I don't know. I imagine like cargo pants being like snotty teens with like stripy red polo shirts and bucket or not bucket hats, bowl cuts.
Bowl cuts.
I don't know. I just this, like
that
cargo
sounds
pants,
like some
stripy red polo bowl cut.
That sounds like a dystopian steampunk character. You know,
a guy who wears cargo pants, a polo shirt, and a bowl cut.
No, and like a, I don't know.
What does that have to do with dystopian
never mind.
Steampunk?
That's how I imagine 1984. That's how I imagine.
Mando should start wearing cargo pants.
He should. No, the original, and, like, Boba
he should
Fett.
He should get Baby Yoda a tiny
Boba
little pair
Fett
of cargo pants.
Boba Fett has cargo pants in the original trilogy and looks terrible.
Where are they? Okay, to be honest with you, if he does, I think he does. Yeah, you're right. Those are probably just regular cargo pants. Because I know in the original trilogy, they used a lot of stuff just, like, repurposed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was this, like, ice cream container thing.
Yep.
Have you ever heard that story?
Nope.
Well, I don't remember it, so it's a tale for another time.
Yep.
But yeah, what were we talking about? Cargo pants? No Baby Yoda? No,
yeah.
Episode 3.
Episode 3. But what I just love
this
episode.
So let's start off with... Oh, you go first.
I just love this episode because so far Mandalorian has knows where it's going, but then Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau decide to bring in Clone Wars characters, and not only Clone Wars characters, one of the best Clone Wars characters, Bo-Katan. And it's just amazing. It's amazing.
All right. So let's start off this episode with what do you think of the way she looks compared to the Clone Wars?
Oh, it looks great. Are we talking about the human or the armor? Because the armor is absolutely spot
both.
On.
Both. The whole character.
I think the whole
armor
character.
The armor is not hard to recreate, though.
But I'm so glad that they... Here's the thing. Most people would, when changing animated things to live action, they would change tons of things and make like a live action version. What the costume designers for Mandalorian did is they made an exact replica from the Clone Wars, and it pays off because it just looks so much better than maybe like a live action version, you know?
Uh-huh. It is very good. What was I gonna say?
I also think the actress did a good job.
I don't think she looked like exactly like Bo-Katan or anything, but I think she was like, it was so right yet so like weird at the same time.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that we have to get used to. It's like
Ahsoka. I think it's harder to get it right with Bo-Katan than it is with Ahsoka, because with Ahsoka there was a lot of makeup and extra stuff you can add. Well, with Bo-Katan you're just sort of looking for a woman who looks like this animated person that you made up.
But they also have to be a good actress, you know. They have to find someone.
Yeah, you have to find a good actor or actress who looks like a person that doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. That's like
so.
That's what happened with Solo. It seems they tried to find someone who looks exactly like Harrison Ford, but they couldn't find one who looked like Harrison Ford but was a good actor. So then they had to go with someone who didn't really look like Harrison Ford but was still a good actor.
I liked that guy. I think he did well.
He's a really good actor. He got
Solo is underrated.
It really is. He got a lot of crap for acting, even though his acting was really good in that movie. They didn't like that.
They gave him crap just because he's not Harrison Ford, which isn't his fault. I love Woody Harrelson in that movie as well.
Woody Harrelson. I've actually never really liked Woody Harrelson in that movie. I've always found him a little bland. He acts like Woody Harrelson.
I just like Woody Harrelson in general.
He's like Woody Harrelson.
He's one of my boys.
Yeah, he would have been better if he had Twinkie.
Who?
Nothing. He wouldn't get it.
What?
Nothing.
Oh, is that a joke that I don't get?
It's just a reference to a movie.
Oh, I haven't seen whatever.
Yeah, it's a Woody Harrelson movie, but episode 3 is great. I also love how they're bringing the Empire into it a lot.
It makes me so happy to see Imperial Stormtroopers on screen again.
Yep.
I do not like the look of the Force Awakens or the First Order Stormtroopers. They just don't look as good.
I think they look so awesome. They have
I think they're so lame compared. Like they might look cool, but I just love the Imperial Stormtroopers look so much more.
I don't know. I really like them both.
Because it's just so classic. Like it. I legit was like, wow, I just realized how long it's been since these were produced on screen.
But
I think that it was really cool.
Like, there's not a single Stormtrooper design that I don't like. Or Clone Trooper or anything. They all look cool. But
yeah, I like them a lot as well.
Yeah, so one thing I really like is with the Empire and Mandalorian, they're like, they're actually giving them a role, and they're actually giving them cool action sequences, and they're actually making them somewhat serious. Because say what you want about the original trilogy, they were kind of a joke. At least Stormtroopers. The Stormtroopers are a joke. Everyone knows that. But here,
I was watching the original trilogy the other day, and there were lines about like how accurate Stormtroopers are, and I'm like
only Imperial, like Obi-Wan says, only Imperial Stormtroopers have such good aim or something. You know,
yeah,
like,
oh, and oh, yeah, I was just dying. It was so funny, because the whole joke is that Stormtroopers cannot aim.
Yep.
They can in The Mandalorian, though, because he's invincible, so, you know, it's okay.
I really do.
The Beskar is a bit OP.
Yep. I just want them to hit a target sometime. You know, even though they can't always hit the main character because, you know, the main characters can't get
hit. The main character is dead.
What?
Because then the main character is
dead. No, but like,
hit,
like, shoot them in the leg or something, you know?
Then the main character doesn't have a leg.
Shoot them in the leg. It's laser. It'll just...
Okay, you know what I have to say about lasers?
Yeah.
Is they don't seem very effective.
Well, they can, I guess.
Like, they shoot people in the legs and then, like, the people are just, like, fine. They just, like... wrap it up and then it's perfectly fine.
Well, it's because you have infinite ammo then. You don't have to recharge or anything. That's what's...
And, like, I feel like it takes, like... I don't think you can... Unless you hit them in the face, I feel like I've never seen someone get killed by one last laser bolt.
Seriously?
Yeah, I don't think so. Who?
Like, every side character in Star Wars.
Huh.
Like, every clone trooper in Clone Wars.
Well, them, obviously, because they're just side characters. But main characters, like, I feel like any main character just has, like, if they get hit in the chest, they're just going to be fine.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. They just never seemed as dangerous as, like, bullets.
Well, it's because bullets, you run out of bullets, but with lasers, you have infinite.
I know they're more efficient, but I feel like the damage they do should be equivalent to that of a bullet, and I don't feel like it is.
Well, that's just not possible, because there's a difference between shooting, like, lead.
Okay,
like,
but it's fake. It's not real.
Bolt right.
Obviously,
through.
That'll never happen in real life.
Yeah. But anyway, let's just move on.
I don't
let's
have a problem on. With it. I'm just making it's an interesting thing to think about at times. But, I don't really care.
Yeah. One thing that I also found interesting is Bryce Dallas Howard in season one made one of the weaker episodes, which was episode 4, but then she just makes a banger episode here.
Wait, Bo-Katan's episode was Bryce Dallas Howard?
Yep.
That's cool.
Yep.
I looked at the directors a lot more in the first season. I haven't really been looking at it in this one.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm going to move on to episode 4.
Yeah, no, not yet.
Okay.
I wanted to make a comment. What was the goal of that up? Oh, yeah, he just... So, you see, this is also, I feel like, a side mission. It's kind of... It's like... It is kind of... I know I said it wasn't this episode earlier, but it is kind of, like, good filler. Because,
I got things
it's not really on... It adds to the main plot without being, like, you could eliminate this from the equation, and I think... Other than the part about finding out about Ahsoka, I feel like it would still work.
Well, I don't really think so, because the whole point is that he was looking for other Mandalorians, and then he finds these Mandalorians, and now they're like, you know what, go find... And then we also found more about Mando. We know that he's Children of the Watch. We know that he's basically, like...
Yeah, yeah, you're right, you're right.
He's extremely orthodox in his Mandalorian religion.
It's kind of annoying sometimes.
What?
I don't know, how into it he is.
Well, what I've seen is he's getting a little less into it. You know?
He's like a fanatic.
Because now that he's realized that you're not automatically Mandalorian if you take your helmet off, because notice how he's not extremely offended when... Like, he was offended when Bo-Katan took her helmet off, but then she's like, boy, you're just a zealot. You know,
you're just weird.
Yeah.
Do you think he'll ever get to the point where he'll take his helmet off willingly?
Nah. I don't want him to.
So, yeah, I changed my mind. Not filler. You're right. I just... Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's
so
it's a very
yeah, we can.
It has a very subtle way of moving the story along, you know.
Yeah, that's what it. That's why it might seem like filler, I guess.
Yeah,
because like it is everything that happens is rather.
Because like the main goal
subtle.
Is not part of the major plot, but like all the thing, like all the other little things that happen are important.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I guess we can move on to episode 4 now.
Okay. I just want to say, to start out by saying, episode 4 is directed by Carl Weathers, and throughout this episode, it seems that Carl Weathers is trying to get as many cool shots of Carl Weathers that Carl Weathers can. Like, there's so many times when they're moving through Imperial corridors, and Carl Weathers is front and center, doing a cool move left and right, you know?
That's pretty funny. Okay, you want to hear my favorite part of this episode?
Sure.
The blue jeans guy.
All right. Sadly,
they took him out. It was so sad.
Yeah. They should have kept him in. That's just one of those funny Star Wars Easter
eggs. I've read about articles about this stuff, and there was like a Starbucks cup in Game of Thrones or something.
Yeah, and people started making merchandise of that guy.
Yeah, I know. I saw like an action figure that was
being
sold.
That's
but
amazing.
But yeah, guys, if you don't know, there was this one shot where around a corner you could just see the shoulder and one leg of some guy in a t-shirt and jeans.
Yep.
And it was hilarious, but then they edited him out, and it was I cried. I didn't really cry. I'm not that weird.
Yeah.
So that was sad.
Yeah, this episode was very good. One thing I've noticed as well is this second season has a lot more action, like a lot more like more unique action. The first season was all about shootouts.
Yeah.
Well, this one has shootouts. It has sky fights because they're not exactly in space. They have chase scenes. They have lightsaber battles. You know, they have all that.
Yeah. So this episode gave me hope that Dave Filoni is going to help fix the sequel trilogy, which is what we all want and need. Because of all those comments about, like, cloning and stuff and
What do you mean, Dave Filoni?
Jars.
This is Jon Favreau.
And Jon Favreau. Yeah, I just associate with this Dave Filoni. I'm usually talking about them as a team. I meant, you know what? I'm sorry, Jon Favreau.
Jon Favreau
is
the big
Filoni.
Guy.
I meant both of you. I always get that confused. I always forget and think about Dave Filoni as the big guy. Yeah, Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni, to a lesser extent, are going to save the sequels.
Yep. Actually,
kind of stupid now.
I actually really like where they're going with it. Because if you guys don't know, in episode 4, Team Mandalorian, or like the three amigos and that one fish guy, they break into an Imperial lab, and it has like what seems to be like prototype Snoke clones. And
that's what we think they are. We don't know really entirely what they are,
but really
that's probably
like
what they
because
are.
I've seen people pointing out how that one clone, that one little disformed character has the same scar placement, has the same little ear on the exact same side, and
it's also likely that that's what it is.
Yeah,
just from context clues and that it could not be, but it's doubtful. So yeah, Jon Favreau, not Dave Filoni. I'm stupid. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
could save the sequels.
And here's one thing that I'm thinking: if they do save it, I don't think it will completely save Rise of Skywalker, but I think
it
will
save Rise of Skywalker, man.
I think it will make it a little more believable, because that's what the Clone Wars did. They made a lot of parts of Revenge of the Sith more believable. But Revenge of the Sith was already a pretty good movie, and it just made it better.
That's basically just what the shows are doing in Star Wars, to be honest. They're just fixing all the problems of the kind of terrible movies at times.
Yeah.
Never mind. I don't always say anything. I'm not sure where I was going with that.
I'm also so glad that they keep bringing back Scout Troopers. They're my absolute favorite Stormtroopers. I love them. Especially Camo Troopers. Ah, they're amazing.
What about the scene where the Scout Troopers
crashed,
started beating up Baby Yoda in the first season?
Oh,
didn't that
no.
make you sad?
I
mean,
love
Grogu,
that scene.
Sorry,
that
I
scene is
annoyed.
So funny.
Yeah, I know. I was dying.
They were like, they were just having a casual conversation. They're like, Moff Gideon just killed one of his ranking officers. They were just
my
weird.
First thought when I saw that season, I remember, was, dang, this has Jon Favreau written all over it.
Yep. And that episode was directed by Taika Waititi, and it shows.
Sorry, why do I keep saying the wrong names? I meant Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
Jeez, what is wrong? I'm sorry. I'm apparently bad at this now. Taika Waititi, because it was so similar. It reminded me of the humor from Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, we're just casual conversations that are just so funny. You know, they seem so out of place.
Why did I say Jon Favreau? Why am I so stupid? First because, I said Dave Filoni instead of Jon Favreau, and now I say Jon Favreau instead of Taika Waititi.
Like, when you watch movies, obviously, like, people in real life don't speak like this, you know? Even, like, Quentin Tarantino, where he writes just random conversations, they still don't speak like this, you know? There are no awkward pauses. There are no random lines. But here in this episode, they literally write it just like a random conversation between two scout troopers just waiting to get their orders. And it's just bloody hilarious.
It's very hard to make really realistic dialogue.
Yeah, I think we're keep going back to season one. Let's go back to season two.
It's fine. Who cares? Let me continue this thought. When you're trying to write really realistic dialogue, it's very difficult when you're trying to drive a plot about space aliens fighting each other forward. It'll always seem a bit fantastical, you know?
Yeah. I can't be the only one who's always kind of bugged when people call, like, the humans in Star Wars aliens. It just always seems so
That's not what I meant. I was talking about...
No. I know that's not what you meant, but you know, like, how if you say a bunch of space aliens, most of the people in Star Wars are... they look human, but they're not human. And it's just weird.
Yeah, that's what I've always wondered. Like, are Anakin and Obi-Wan, like, human?
Nah.
Like, technically not. But I guess they are. Like, they look like it. Because, like, obviously everyone can't be aliens.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to Google this. I wonder if that's, like, an official thing that they are or aren't. All right. This says Ben Kenobi is a human.
Really? I guess that's because Earth doesn't exist.
I don't know. I don't... Like... It's weird that a species we have exists.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like the whole, like, basic thing, you know? How they're all talking about how they speak basic and that's just the language that everyone knows. And that's usually just English.
Yeah.
So I feel like even though they're humans, it should be a different thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's interesting.
What that might mean is, this is just getting extremely off topic, but when people think of, like, aliens on other planets, they hardly ever do think that, like, when people actually think of, like, the realistic possibilities, they don't usually think that aliens might actually just look like us.
Yeah. Know? But I feel like in Star Wars, since, like, we don't exist, are they just humans, or are they... It's an interesting
discussion. But does Earth exist? Has there been confirmation that Earth is not a planet?
Well, I guess it is in a galaxy far, far away, so...
That'd be funny if there's, like, an Earth cameo. That'd be so funny.
I wrote a story once when I was, like, 4 about that, where all the Jedi came to Earth and killed a bunch of people.
Why does that seem like the most 4-year-oldish story ever?
I don't know.
It's so amazing. Anyway, season 4. Yeah, I mean, episode 4. It's good.
Yes, season 4.
Yeah, season 4.
Has Taika Waititi done any episodes this season yet?
Nah. I think he's doing...
Is he involved at all?
He's doing one of the last two.
Okay, that's good. Because he was the best one last season, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Doesn't he also get, like, a... Weren't there rumors of him getting a trilogy of movies as well?
Oh, wait. Oh, actually, turns out he's not doing a second season. That's sad.
Aw. He's not involved at all?
I don't think so. Let me just Google who's...
Bro,
directing.
He was the best one from last year. So, we've got Dave Filoni.
I'm seeing who's left.
Jon Favreau. Bryce Dallas Howard.
So, Peyton.
Carl Weathers.
Wait. I'm pretty sure it's going to be Jon Favreau directing the last two.
Okay, that's not bad. Because I like that as well.
So, the new ones are Peyton Reed, Robert Rodriguez, Carl Weathers, and Jon Favreau. And all of them have already directed an episode, so I feel like Jon Favreau, because he did the first one, will try and do the last two as well, or at least one of them.
Wait, is Dave Filoni not doing any either?
But he did episode
5.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought, but you didn't say his name, so I was confused.
Well, but he's not new.
Oh, you said new ones. I didn't hear that part. All right, yeah. I love Dave Filoni.
Yep.
So, you want to move on to episode 5?
Yeah,
sure. In my opinion, the best episode of The Mandalorian so far. Do you agree or disagree?
Is that best episode of Mandalorian?
Yeah, out of 16.
Nah. I don't think so.
Which one's better?
Episode 8, season 1, episode 3, season 1, and possibly episode 3, season 2. I loved this episode, don't get me wrong. I think there's nothing really wrong with it, but I think that others are a bit better. I thought that this was, even though it built on the lore a lot, it was extremely dialogue heavy, and at times kind of act like it had a lot of exposition. I'm fine with that. It's the only way to do it, but I just have pure enjoyment. I think that I enjoyed those others better.
I think I enjoyed this one the most because I don't know, I was so hyped, and I got really hyped, and the hype paid out, and I guessed that it was going to be Grand Admiral Thrawn, and I'm still proud of myself for that.
Yeah. Oh, just a quick side note. I don't think Grand Admiral Thrawn is going to be in Mandalorian.
Yeah, I think he might. If he does, it'll just be at the end of the season. But I think that's just set up for... Because Ahsoka's not coming back. So I think that's just set up for an Ahsoka TV show.
And I'm all down for an Ahsoka TV show.
Oh, yeah. I'm in line to love
like
that.
Her live-action debut was just pitch perfect. So,
because they're doing that. And I'm fairly confident that at least in the last episode, there's going to be a Jedi involved. And I think bringing Thrawn in and Ahsoka and Boba Fett and some Jedi that we've already seen is just too much.
Yeah, and the
for once and Bo-Katan.
Yeah,
it's just all too much for one
season. I don't want them to bring in too many legends and prequel characters. I want them to kind of like keep it its own thing, you know. That's what was so great about season one. But if they kind of push it too close to the sequel to the prequels or too close to the sequels, then it will lose some things.
Yeah, I do like it. So far, they've done a very good job of keeping it its own thing while still having these characters. Because they haven't really they haven't been connecting it to, like, a huge amount to the old trilogies and the new trilogies. Like, it's still, even though all these characters have been seen before, it's still its own thing.
Right.
And it's all about, like, I was very scared for a bit that they were just going to totally divert from the Mandalorian and Baby Yoda. But no, even with all these characters, they were very, very, very sparing with them, and just like Ahsoka gets one episode.
And Baby Yoda, done, Boba Fett Baby Yoda actually has a legit role as well.
You know? Uh huh.
He's actually.
I'm very happy with the way that they didn't get tempted into making the show about these guys. Yeah. Like a lot of directors, I feel like, would just be like, ooh, Ahsoka, people love Ahsoka, let's put her in every episode.
Yeah. Like Mandalorian and Baby Yoda are still the main characters.
Yes, and that's why it's still so good.
Yeah.
Also, I'm happy that the one character they chose to be more important was Boba Fett, because he wasn't important in any of the other trilogies. Mm-hmm.
And
he's always been a small supporting character at best.
And he's one that fits, because he is Mandalorian. So.
Plus, we've never really seen him in the spotlight before, and yeah, he is a Mandalorian.
Yep. But we'll get
so
into
I'm
that.
So I'm happy with that, because like, we don't know anything about him, so they can't make it about him, and even if they do, it's still its own show.
Yep. And one thing I also think is episode 5, in my opinion, has the best atmosphere and like total production design.
Oh, it's so cool.
Yeah, look, it has like such a cool design, like where all the trees are burned and stuff, and they're like there's
yeah, and then you get episode 6. Okay.
And but like episode 5 is like it like I've seen people say that it's very similar. It has like a very samurai style, and I agree.
Cuz I think that is a lot of stuff like the woman, the tyrant woman.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of thought I didn't really think she was that good of an actress, though. Well, she
wasn't amazing, but it just gave me samurai vibes, I don't know.
Yeah.
And Ahsoka as well just also gives off, like, she fit very well into that vibe.
Yeah, I thought that basically the design for Ahsoka is, like, perfect for live action. Some people were kind of upset that her little noodles are too short, but, you know, it's live action.
Montrals.
Yeah, it has to be practical, you know? You can't have.
I saw it. I was like, they're a bit short. And then I forgot about it.
Yeah.
I didn't think the things that, like, the montrals are the things that, like, hang down, like, on her chest, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What I thought was short was the things that, like her horns things.
Really?
Those seemed a little short to me.
Let's see.
Like, if you pull up a picture of her.
Yeah, it's going to pull Rebels. No, they're kind of the same, looks like.
But I don't mind it. I'm just saying that's what I noticed before, like, the Montreal things or whatever they're called, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, the mon the
Yeah, it makes sense.
Her horns are basically the same, but her Montreals are a little short, but that's fine.
I don't really care. It looks good, so.
Yeah.
I love the way they executed her in live action.
Agreed.
The actress is good. The costume is good. The way they did the makeup, I guess. I don't know if there was any CGI, but the makeup was very good.
Yep.
It was just really, really, really good.
Indeed.
Like, I don't know what to say about it because I don't really have any complaints, and it's much easier to talk about complaints than things you like about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Episode 6. Complaints.
And I also loved, like, I don't know, the style she, like, fought in with her lightsabers and stuff made me really happy.
Yeah, even though I didn't like the 1v1 fight that was going on, I thought that her...
The scenes of her fighting those guys outside, yeah. That was so cool.
Yeah, it was like in the Clone Wars, she's very fluid in her fighting style, and this, it translated well to live action.
But it also made her seem way more, I don't know, matured, is that the right word?
Yeah. Is she wasn't like flipping all over the place, which of course
she just seemed very solid with what, like, she knew what she was doing, and that's not a vibe I got from her in the Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very good, and it showed the way she'd aged very well.
Yeah,
like, what is she now, 45, 50 almost,
like 30? Because she's like 13 in Clone Wars.
She was 17 at the end of the Clone Wars.
17, let's see.
And it was 19 years between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope. So that's another, that makes her 27, 30, that makes her 36, and then it was, what, 6 years between A New Hope and Revenge of the Sith?
Dang, that's weird.
25 what?
45 years old.
Yeah, that's what, I'm doing the math right now, because it was 19 from Revenge of the Sith to A New Hope, and then it was 5 or 6 from A New Hope to Return of the Jedi, right?
Right.
And then it was 5 more until The Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
And that probably has taken place over a good year at least. Yeah. So, yeah, she's in her mid-40s.
Yep.
And I think they portrayed her aging very, very well.
Indeed.
They also made her speak. I want to talk about Rebels for a sec. In Rebels, she also seemed like kind of older, which is weird because that takes place like during A New Hope, I think, or before maybe. I don't know. So she'd only be like 25 or 30
there. She didn't look
there.
Old. She just looked not young.
She just seemed very, very, very mature in that, which isn't something I don't know.
I think it's also Rebels had very wonky designs for returning characters.
Don't talk to me about the Rebels animation. It's fine when applied to the original characters.
You mean new characters?
But then when you apply it to the characters that we've seen in Clone Wars animation, it's just sad.
Yeah.
But we're not here to talk about Rebels, and you haven't even seen
it. Yeah, like Yoda looks terrible. Yoda looks terrible.
Have you seen Anakin?
No.
Search it up, Anakin Rebels. You're gonna cry.
Let's see.
You're searching it up. Search it up.
What the heck did they do to him?
He looks like a loaf of bread.
What the heck is that?
I don't know. What the heck? The Rebels animation style applied to non-original characters is atrocious. But that's besides the point. Because Rebels is a good show and you should watch it. Please, please, please.
Nay.
Please, nay, Jackie, nay. Please, just nay. Watch it.
Nay, nay, nay. Anyway, episode 6, the last episode that has released so far.
By the way, we will probably make an episode on the last two because they seem like they're going to be very connected.
Yeah.
Like, we could have made one without episode 6 because I think the last three are going to be a trilogy, but it already came out, and it would be kind of mean to just ignore it. So, it's here.
Yep.
I think we both have the same problem with this episode.
Yeah, like, I think we should just get the bad out of the way first. This episode, though, it has tons of action. It does look a little cheap at times. Like, while all the other episodes of Mandalorian, they have unique set designs. You know, they look like planets.
Episode 5, very cool.
But this one looks like it's just filmed in Australia. It looked like
it was filmed in, like, California. So I saw this video of this woman who, like, I saw this in, like, February. And this woman stumbled upon a movie set, and she was walking around, and she saw stormtroopers. And she was like, maybe it's a commercial or something. And I watched the episode on Friday, and I was like, holy cow, that's the place where she saw that. And I was like, that's really cool. So, yeah. But also, I was watching this video the other day about how they do, like, the backgrounds for Mandalorian, and apparently they don't use green screen.
Oh, yeah. They
use, like, these LED light walls or something.
Oh, yeah, that they revolutionized that in Season 1.
Yeah, and they've been using it again in Season 2 to a certain extent. And
but they don't use it
apparently,
at all.
Apparently, I guess, according to this video, it wasn't used, and I think that might be the problem, because they can't create this design of the whole landscape. They just have these boulders and some grass.
But it looked like a fan film, you know? You know
it
how
looked
you
like,
see
it, like
fan
legit, I've gotten that vibe from fan films before.
Yeah, like where it just looks like a field near their house.
Yeah.
Like, what they could have done, and here's another problem, is the planet that this is supposed to take place on is supposed to be luscious. It's supposed to have, like, waterfalls. It's supposed to have big
temples.
Why
were there no... There should have been jungles. It gives me a jungle vibe.
It does. It should have had big temples, but instead we have this little rock pyramid. And not even a rock pyramid, just like a little rock sticking up, you know?
Freaking magic Star Wars Stonehenge.
Yeah. But
did I say hedge?
Like, what I would have wanted is, like, some sort of abandoned temple. You know, like a legit abandoned temple.
Like a temple, not just a Stonehenge.
Yeah. That would have been cool.
But that is not what we got. So that's literally basically my only complaint.
Yeah. But it does kind of affect the entire episode, because the entire look of the episode seems very cheap then. You know? Yeah. It's hard to take.
Boba showed up.
Yeah.
We got the good old Australian man, Tamura.
Then we have that annoying lady from episode 5.
I don't like her. Why did they bring her back?
I don't know, because season 1 set it up.
No, it didn't. She looked like she was dead.
Yeah, but then Boba Fett walks up to her.
Oh, I remember that. Shoot, I forgot about that.
Yep.
We saw Boba Fett in season 1.
Yeah. You don't remember that?
No, I didn't. I forgot about... Holy schmoly lemon cow.
Yeah, everyone knew it was Boba Fett.
During season 1?
Yeah.
People were like, hey, that's Boba Fett.
Well, yeah, because you could hear his...
How did they know that?
Because you could hear his tracking sounds and his boots. Same, like the exact same sound that is in the original trilogy. The exact same one.
You see,
like, it was Boba
no
Fett.
One told me this, and I don't pay attention to details.
Like it was definitely Boba Fett.
Why does no one tell me these things? Well, I feel left out now.
Sorry.
I feel left out.
I thought you knew this.
No,
sorry.
I didn't. Now I'm sad.
Sorry. Anyway, yeah.
And Baby Yoda got kidnapped, and the Honda Civic got blown up.
Yep. I thought one thing.
So,
the guy who directed this episode apparently directed Spy Kids.
Oh, my goodness. I don't think I've ever seen that movie.
Neither have I.
I just know it's kind of a meme.
Yeah.
Okay, what is that? Did you have a point to make about that?
Well, I thought it was a very good episode.
It was. I love Moff Gideon.
I do too.
The one thing I'm disappointed by is I don't think the name was right. I don't think it was tragic enough to be called like, I know Baby Yoda got kidnapped, and I know his ship got blown up, but you have two sort of kind of tragedies that leave you wondering... So which one was the tragedy?
Well, what I think is, because the three biggest things in the show are Mando, Baby Yoda, and the Razor Crest. And now both of them are gone. You know?
And then also, for some reason, it gave me these expectations where I was just waiting for at the end for there to be a reveal of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen. Like, with all the Force stuff with Baby Yoda, I just thought there was going to be somebody. And then there wasn't. It was just Moff Gideon throwing poor Baby Yoda in shackles. And I wasn't disappointed by that. I don't know where I got these false expectations, but they were there.
Yeah.
So the ending just made me be like, aw.
So you thought it was going to be heartbreaking like that?
Firstly, yeah, I thought there was going to be a tragedy because he's going to get back Baby Yoda. And you know that. And the ship thing, it's sad, but it's a ship. I mean.
Yeah.
Like... So, yeah, I wasn't heartbroken. And also, I expected there to be a reveal. I don't know where these expectations came from. But, like, Moff Gideon walked through his ship, and he walked by a hologram thing, and I thought he was going to call, like, Thrawn or somebody. I expected a Jedi to show up at some point, maybe. I just thought there was going to be somebody.
Yeah.
And I know it was Boba Fett, I guess.
Yeah. But as I was saying...
The amount of hype I had when Slave 1 showed or 2 showed up on screen.
Oh, that was
though.
So awesome. Like, he just looks into this guy, and like... Is that a Jedi? And then I see this Slave 1 just go by. I'm like, oh my gosh. It's so amazing.
It was really cool. Like, I was
Yep.
Over the moon.
The camera work in this episode is really, really good, especially for the action scenes.
Okay, the action scenes, though. I have never, I guess, aside from you gave me some example the other day, but I don't think I've ever seen a stormtrooper's helmet be shattered by someone they're fighting. Exactly. Which may just be because there's hand-to-hand combat, never hand-to-hand combat, but I just think Boba's a beast.
I really want to see Mando do more hand-to-hand combat because, like, when he's battling the Empire, he kind of just does just move right through them, you know?
Well, he'll have to now. All his guns are gone.
But, like, if he has... I love Death Troopers, so if they have, like, some hand-to-hand combat scenes with them, that would be awesome. I wonder why they haven't brought them back yet.
Because I thought when the weird black robot guys came down, I thought those were going to be Death Troopers, but I forgot that he said Dark Troopers or whatever.
Well, Death Troopers are
the
best.
Those are the black stormtroopers that are, like, the little green eyelings, right?
Yeah, they're just more elite. They're, like... I'm pretty
they're
sure
they're so cool.
I'm pretty sure they're aliens. Like, they're some sort of alien species as well.
Really? I thought they were just elite stormtroopers.
No, because they're like so much taller.
I mean, maybe they're just tall.
I guess.
They're just like basketball players or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I liked it. It wasn't better than episode 5, but it was really, really, really good.
It was fun.
And once I got past me losing my weird, false, unfounded expectations, I enjoyed it a lot. It was extremely good.
It
and
was.
It moved the plot a ton.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I am very, very excited to see where the next two episodes go. Because at this point, I'm 100% certain that some Jedi is going to show up, right?
Yeah, definitely. But I really
it has
liked
to happen.
How involved Baby Yoda is getting.
Oh, also, I loved the way he was sitting. He was just, like, meditating. And it's, like, the classic meditation pose that all kids do. And it was so funny.
But also, like, we know that he has PTSD from episode 5. And I love how Moff Gideon kind of, like, tries to pull that PTSD out by igniting, like, the Darksaber. You know, he's like, have you seen this
before?
He
was trying to grab it. And I was like, kid, you were at the Jedi Temple. What makes you think it's a good idea to grab a lightsaber by the frickin' blade?
Baby Yoda has his own baby lightsaber. Oh my gosh.
I think he'd kill himself.
Who cares? It'd be cute.
Not like suicidal, but like
it'd be cute.
Yeah, yes. But then they'll have to start selling toys of his corpse.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be kind of morbid. I changed my mind.
Anyway.
Okay, before we go, firstly, do you have any more thoughts on season 6, episode 6?
I don't think so.
We can always talk about it more later if we think of anything else.
Yeah.
I just wanted to bring up the depressing picture that I sent you, or that we both saw, I don't know, of that fan art of old Baby Yoda holding the little ball thing with a picture of Mandalorian behind him crying.
Yep.
Or holding the helmet. It's so sad, because, like, it's going to happen. Unless Baby Yoda dies, like, protecting Mando or something, which could be a good way of transitioning away from Baby Yoda, which will happen eventually.
Yep. Well, Mandalorian.
Baby Yoda is 50, and Mando is, like,
30?
What, also 50?
He's, like, 35.
I think characters in Star Wars tend to be older than I think they are.
Let's see.
Good one.
How old is Mandalorian?
5 years. Oh, no, that's when the
he's
season.
He's,
36.
38.
So, yeah. So, Baby Yoda is
14
years older than he is.
Yep. I love one thing that did feel weird about episode 6 is Boba Fett's only supposed to be 40, but in this episode, he looks so much older.
Well, he aged. I mean, he got eaten by the Sarlacc.
I know, but he looks so much older. He looks like 50s.
Wait, the actor probably is in his 50s.
Well, yeah, he is.
Wait, he's only supposed to be 40?
Yeah.
He was created in Attack of the Clones. Which was 2 or 3 years before he was like 11 or something in Attack of the Clones, right?
Yeah.
Which is 2 or 3 years before Revenge of the Sith. So that makes him like, let's say 14.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put him at 15 in Revenge of the Sith. 19 years until A New Hope. That makes him 20, 34.
Yep. And
6 years.
Tamura Morrison,
that makes him 40.
Is 60.
He's 60?
Yep.
I don't know what they're going to do when they try to have a line of action clone troopers and he's like 75.
Yep.
So, yeah, I guess he should be like 45. I didn't mind though. I think it's good.
Yeah, it was fun.
Tamura Morrison was okay though. I can't decide. It wasn't my favorite performance ever.
Yeah. Well, he's never.
But I do like the. I do love that they brought back him. Because they could have brought someone else, you know.
I did love how he had his gut sticking out of it during the fight sequences. That was kind of funny.
Boba Fett, more like Boba Fat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been an extremely good season, and they're setting up so much, and I'm so hyped, and I just want it to be Friday every week.
Yeah.
Because I want to see it, and I'm sad that I have to wait 2 more weeks to see the end, and even when we do get a Jedi, it's probably just going to be like for like 5 seconds at the end of the last episode, and then they'll continue that storyline in season 3. And then I think, didn't you say something about how you think Baby Yoda is going to be done after season 3?
I think season 4.
Season 4. Because they got to get, the show, I know it's about him, but it'll get old eventually.
I think the end of season 3 will have some sort of time jump. And Mando, like, will be, like, 50 or something. He'll still
be. Baby Yoda will still only be, like, 60s, though.
What?
Baby Yoda will still only be in, like, his 60s, though.
Which is kind of weird. Does he age quickly out of his baby stage? Like, does he suddenly
I feel like there has to be some sort of relativity. Because, like, 50 years old, he's still, like, what? He acts like a 1-year-old or a 6-month-old.
So maybe, like, at 70 years old,
he Yoda acts, like, is an old man at the age of 900. But if he was, like, 1 or 2 every 50 years, then Yoda would only be freaking 18 years old.
Yeah.
So he has to start getting aging quicker as time goes on.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm guessing, like, at the age of 70, he may act like a 10-year-old. Or something.
10-year-old. Yeah, perhaps. Because Yoda, the way it seems with Yoda is like every 100 years seems like 10 years for Yoda. Because he's like in his 90s probably with the way he acts.
Yeah.
So, but Baby Yoda is, well, I mean, I guess he could kind of be an underdeveloped 5-year-old.
I don't know. He does. He still hasn't said his first word. I don't know. It's still all baby
it's
blabber.
Confusing. Yeah. It's confusing. But, that's we have made our return, our debut, and we have talked about what the thing that's gotten me. I go through phases of what I'm hyped about, like Star Wars, Marvel, Harry Potter, etc. And this has got me into another Star Wars phase. So.
Indeed, same.
Any other thoughts?
Don't think so. I'm so tired.
Well, hopefully you guys will hear this episode, and hopefully I won't sideline it onto some other plate and leave it for 6 months.
yeah.
yeah, hopefully it'll be out in a couple days.
Yeah.
So, I guess if you're still here after 4 months, thank you for listening. We have YouTube now. There should be an episode about The Mandalorian there sometime soon, if not already.
Yep.
So go check that out.
And
subscribe,
if,
I guess.
If this episode's up by Wednesday, just know that we have succeeded.
Yes.
We have succeeded.
And hopefully we will be putting out episodes every Wednesday. So don't make your expectations too high of when the next Wednesday as well, but they should be there because hopefully if all goes well, it will happen.
Yeah.
So yeah, thank you, and I guess that's it for us.
Yep. Well, thank you for listening. Bye.
Adios. Hey, it's me back again for a quick little note before you go. Yes, what we just said was true. Out on our YouTube channel now, there is our full reviews for all 6 episodes of Season 2 of The Mandalorian so far. So you can go check that out now at the link in the description down below this podcast. Secondly, I am very happy to confirm that we are back in full. Back in business, baby. Back in the studio. Not really a studio, but okay. Every Wednesday going forward from this week, you can look forward to a brand new episode of your favorite podcast, The Unwatchables. So tune in then. Same unwatchable time, same unwatchable channel. Anybody get the reference? Hey, hey. You know, Batman, 60s. No. You know that show? Anybody? No? Really? Ugh, y'all are uncultured.